This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerald Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants. Welcome, welcome, listeners, to the show where a comedian and a Eurovision winner solve your problems, heal your life, fix your world.
I swear to God, when you say those words, Grode, I really believe them.
See, we have to believe it ourselves.
I know. It's a self-belief that kind of really radiates out past into the world.
That's exactly it. And you know what? I feel really weird because we're not in our usual studio.
I know. We're sitting in easy chairs, which is a bit weird.
Like, I feel like I'm sitting at home in an armchair and it's weird.
I know. Normally we'd be throwing popcorn on the TV screen at this point.
Yeah, well, or maybe I'd be like throwing water all over you.
Well, that or the Barocca you just had. I'm expecting it to kick in about 10 minutes in.
Yeah, it's like when Jim Morrison does a line of cocaine.
I'm thinking to myself, you know, the second half of this podcast is going to be like on fire.
Yeah, I always take it before I go on stage. Because like...
Do you?
Yeah, because then halfway through...
It just gives you that judge.
The vitamin B bounce.
Wow.
Just fires me up for the second half of the show.
Oh, so funny.
Also, makes me want to wee. And nothing, I tell you, if you're bored of a show, not that I'm bored of a show, I love my show, but you know, you've done your show a lot.
Yeah.
A little bit of urgency.
I know. There's a sense of, are you going to do your shopping list in your head?
I know, yeah. Well, I would much rather need a bit of a wee.
Yeah. That makes you feel...
That keeps your mind on your show.
Oh, you're very sharp then. Yeah. You're very sharp then. Oh, I know. There's just something about it, I think. I know.
We're in our different studio this week. So it feels a bit weird, listener.
You know, we always have the table in front of us and, you know, it feels like we're in a newsroom. Whereas here, it feels like we're just like in your garage.
It's a bit like, you know, when you go in to see Santi. That's what it feels like. You know, come
who's
in,
Santi come in the I mean, which one? Which of us is Santi in this equation?
Well, you're older.
I mean, yeah, that's very true. And if I did grow my moustache, I would have.
Yeah, you're older and you have the beard, Niamh.
If I didn't attend to myself, it would be a whiter beard. There's no doubt about that currently.
So, Niamh, how has your week been?
Well, do you know, it's a funny thing. I was sent for an ultrasound this week.
Oh, you're up the duff. No. Niamh has news. She's got news.
I swear to God, if that was the news, I don't think I'd be here. Listen, I'm at that age now where you get sent for all these things to check you out. You do the whole mammogram, all those lady things and all that. Because I'm of the opinion now I'm not going to die. What's going to happen is they're just going to take bits of me at a time.
Yeah.
And I have a funny feeling that they're probably selling them to Eurovision fans. Like, you know, here's a Eurovision gallbladder. I don't know.
Niamh, the market for a Eurovision gallbladder.
Oh, it's high.
You have no idea.
It's high, especially if it's extra polyps or stones in it. It'll be very exciting. But anyway, neither here nor there. They're sending me for that and I'm very excited, but it reminds me of the last time I was sent for something, which was maybe 10 years ago when they sent me for the camera down the throat.
Because you had the
official term.
I did. I've had the endoscopy and the up the ass doscopy.
You mean the colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy, that's the one.
But I kind of like your description better because it is very much that.
Yeah, it's very
I've never had that done, but I have had the endoscopy.
It's grand, actually.
And yeah, but it is grand. And then you go in and they put you under the felt sense of security that if you only get the spray at the back of the throat, that'll be grand. Don't take the sedative. And it is the least attractive thing you'll ever do. It's like
That is something I don't believe in, not taking the sedative.
Well, I didn't. I just literally got the spray.
You take the sedative. Like, I take the, you name it, I take the sedative.
I will never do that again. That will never be a life choice again because I literally stood there like retching and being aware that I was retching because they were putting this big camera down and then all for the some wee nurse in the corner to say, that's a very sore wee tummy. So I have high hopes.
You talk funny. I talked funny after. Now, after the down the throat one, not the up the ass. I mean, to be fair, you do talk funny after both.
What do you mean talk funny? Maybe you talk funny after the sedative.
No, it's because they give you the sedative, but they also, they spray something into your throat.
Oh yeah, they do. To stop your gag reflex.
And I didn't say anything afterwards, Fred. I was just like, thanks. They were like, don't talk for a few minutes. So I was like, grand. And then I was leaving and I was like, do you know what I'll have? I'll have a little cup of coffee now in an eclair. Delicious. And I opened my mouth and I sounded like Mighty Mouse.
Oh, wow.
Or Mickey Mouse. I was just like, can I have a coffee in an eclair, please? And everyone was just like, do you have an endoscopy? Yeah.
She knew. She recognised the symptoms. Yeah, so, you know, hospitals are kind of a funny thing. You know, I've been in and out of hospital a few times, as you know. Not massively so, but I think as I'm getting older, there seems to be a lot more, you know, attention to, sure, we might just whip you in for that.
Things go wrong, Niamh.
I know.
They just go...
They're just dying.
The other side of it is, like, I mean, she says it's gallstones. We all know she's going in to get a facelift.
Oh.
It's another one. She looks 25.
Ah, Jesus. Jesus, that,
things like that don't just happen.
Corrode, honestly, I haven't even got my ears pierced. There's no way I'm putting... there's nothing going in my face. There's nothing. I can't cope. I'm not very good. I mean, I actually tolerate quite high pain. Right, I do actually. But I can't understand the concept of injecting stuff in your face. Now, if it's for you, I leave it to you. I mean, I've no real opinion of you if you're doing it. But the point is, I have no desire for it.
I'm getting everything done.
I know you are.
I am going to, I swear to God,
done it yet.
I'm going to be unrecognized. I know, I haven't got the window. You need the downtime.
The window.
You define the window. I'm going to come in here one day.
You'll never
and
do
I'm
it.
I'm going to look like Joan Rivers.
No, you'll never do it.
I'll thank you not to comment.
Oh, I will so comment. You don't need to do it. You're very handsome.
Thank you.
And I think you're aging very well.
Well, that was a backhanded compliment. I'm not aging well.
What do you mean? You're 44. You're definitely aging.
I'm 32 years of age.
You're like a child.
I've been 32 for the past 10 years.
You're like a child. Well, you know, I can say at 55 I'm doing okay. But I have to say, you know, maybe there's a time when I might go, wouldn't it be lovely to have that little bit there, you know, not like blocking my sight, you know, my eye.
I'd love to get rid of that, but apparently you can't.
The hooded lid?
Yeah, the only way apparently you can get rid of that is they just lob it off.
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing, is it?
No, people get it done.
No, I know they do, but I don't, yeah. Sometimes you kind of look at people who have had work done
and get the hair done.
They say, oh yeah, well, that's different. I understand why you would get the plugs done.
Yeah, I would definitely.
No,
get
not
that
you
done.
Personally, but why people would.
Why one? Yeah.
Why one would. You know, after I had my thyroid, I lost about 30% of my hair.
Did you?
I did. But I managed to get some of it back, but actually, that's why I keep it
long. Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah. It does. You lose your hair as you get older anyway, as a woman, right? Or a man. It doesn't make any difference. It can be more obvious on a man, I think. But the funny part is, like, I really did lose about 30% of my hair almost immediately after I had my thyroid out. Weird. It was like my body just went into shock. And so, like, because I went back to my hairdresser who hadn't been for many years, the one who did my hair for Eurovision, for my 25th anniversary. And it wasn't long after my thyroid operation. And he said to me, where's all your hair gone? Because I've always had very fine hair.
Wow, hairdressers are real bitches.
They are. They really are. I think he's just annoyed because I don't go to him regularly enough now. But the thing is, it is true for it. Like, I've always had very fine hair, but I've always had lots of it. And I lost lots of hair. Wow. And it's quite an adjustment, especially because I've got a little hole just right here, which I occasionally, you know, which is right at the front of my forehead. I realize I'm pointing that out for, and for, this is a podcast, nobody can see it. But basically, it's right at the front of my forehead, right in the center, right? And the funny part is, so what I tend to do is I put a little bit of eyeshadow there sometimes just to colour it in. Not
can
currently.
You just like what?
Not currently, because I have absolutely no makeup on me at the moment. If you're watching on the bonus, this is how I look. This is who I am. No mascara, no nothing.
You do look great without makeup.
Ah, thanks.
You do. I swear to God. You do, you're very rosy-cheeked. Sometimes people that wear makeup all the time, that when they don't wear makeup, they look very...
What, like a farmer's wife? Rosacea.
A bit like, you know, when, a little you, bit when rosacea. You need to cover this up. Whereas like you do look, you without makeup, you look a little bit like you have makeup on.
Wow, Garode. I don't have enough money in my purse for that conversation.
And that's not me being a friend.
No,
that's
I get
an objective
that.
View.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is, I'm going to the hospital. That's what we were talking
about.
That's
what we're talking about. She's going
in. Let's get back in.
She's going in to get something done.
I'm going in like an old lady and, you know, I have a funny feeling they're going to whip something out while I'm there probably, you know, because that's the way that works. And I'm just going to give myself over to that like a good
girl. You're dead right, the NHS, Niamh.
Take it.
It's
free.
In you go. Yeah.
It's free. Actually, and a lot of NHS, they're sending me to a private hospital for this, even though NHS are playing it. Hello. I hope they whip it out while I'm in there. If I'm in the private hospital.
I know what you need now. You get in there like three square meals a day. You turn nothing down.
Nothing. Take everything for free.
Exactly. And you're in agony 100% of the time. That's when everyone asks you how you're feeling.
Oh,
in
give
agony.
Me all the drugs.
You load up. You leave there rattling.
Here. Have you ever been in hospital?
I was in hospital once. And it was when I was about 13. And I had my tonsils out.
Oh, now you and me, we have that in common because I was about that age when I had
about 13,
tonsils.
Yeah, and apparently that's very late to get your tonsils
out,
so it's
quite
painful.
You definitely suffer longer.
Yeah, it was quite painful.
Yeah.
And I remember because I was 13, they didn't put me in the kids' ward. They put me into the old man ward.
They did that to me too. I was in with the women. It was weird.
Very stressful. I was in with, there was a man in traction. Which I don't think that, I haven't heard of anyone being in traction. I feel like that's a thing they used to do years ago where he was basically tied to the bed.
Are you sure he was
he
in
was
traction?
Being stretched.
Are you sure he wasn't just a plaything for the nurses when they were bored of an evening?
And he had this cage over him.
Yeah.
Like this big cage, and they would put the blankets over the cage. And I was like, why are you putting the blanket over the cage? Put it over the man.
Because it would have hurt him.
Ugh, it was weird. Anyway, so he was in traction one side of me, and then directly opposite me there was an old man.
Oh, okay.
Who they had to jump start one night.
Oh, you mean with the defib?
Yeah, came in with the paddles.
Stop it.
I know, yeah. And I was just like,
were you fascinated?
Anybody get me jelly and ice cream, please?
I mean, because that is obviously the essential thing. It's so weird because actually that exact same thing happened to me. Because I was the oldest in the children's ward, I was brought into the women's ward. And there was a woman across the way from me who had severe sunstroke and the skin was falling off.
Oh, good God almighty.
I mean, you know, it's not very nice. The only thing I will say is they spoilt me rotten because I was just this young one in the corner. But I was really sore. I remember it went on a long time. You were like really
in pain. Yeah,
I was
sore for about a week.
I know. You need to get that whipped out, you know, when you're very young.
Yeah, I definitely think, although apparently they don't take tonsils anymore.
No, you have to have some sort of certificate. You have to have it about 20 times in the year before they'll take them out now. Back then, they didn't just take my tonsils. While they were in there, they decided they'd just nick out the adenoids while they were there. So I don't have adenoids or tonsils.
It was terrible.
I don't know what I need them for.
I feel like I could have been an absolute, you know, I could have been the next Michael Bolton.
Oh.
Only, but yeah, my singing voice never recovered, Niamh.
Yeah, no offence to you. Your tonsils are nothing to do with your singing. Just want to tell you that now.
All I'm going to say is
I've had my
singing
tonsils
voice
out.
Never recovered.
I don't agree. You're amazing. I know our video did very well, you know, when we did our video together. You didn't sing with me though.
I know, I couldn't. Niamh, this is my problem. I cannot sing and play the guitar.
You know, and the fact it was singing in German upset you.
But I couldn't. It's like that thing of like rubbing your belly and like tapping your head.
I know.
I don't know what it is. Like, and do you know what? That used to kill me when I was a kid, right? Because when I was a kid, I used to go to piano lessons.
Oh, yeah.
And they would teach you the right hand and then they teach you the left hand and they teach them both separately.
Oh, okay.
And then they'd be like,
now, put them together.
Now put it together. And I would say, no.
Because that's not how my brain works.
That's not how it works. My brain doesn't work like that.
No,
at all.
I know.
And I tried. I did try. But
I would say learning to drive must have been interesting for you? Did you find that hard?
Because when you're learning to drive, they don't go, just do the gears. They teach it to you all together.
Yeah, they do.
So they don't, like, you're not going, like, practice going up and down the gears. They teach you the whole thing all at once.
Yeah.
And if I learn something like that, I'm grand. But if somebody says, okay, we're going to teach you a bit of this, so you're going to learn this, and then while you're doing this, you've got to do this as well. That's when my brain goes, no, I'm out, done. Can't do this.
See, if you're cooking a fry, do you struggle with that?
About putting the toast on?
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's a timing issue.
I did, like, if I'm making scrambled egg and toast, and it's like, if I have to make it for two people, I get very stressed.
Stress must be very high.
Because
on
I'm like, all the scrambled egg is on, and you're trying to, like, time the toast and butter. And
My husband is the same. He cannot cope with that concept at all.
No.
You know, and then I try not to intercede just in case, you know, I die and he still has to make scrambled egg on toast.
Well, it could be very, very handy because he'll only have to make it for one.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's a very sad picture.
The problem is you've got to time the toast.
It's a very sad picture.
Niamh, we have a follow-up.
Oh my gosh, I love a follow-up.
We have a follow-up. Now, I remember this person.
Right. Oh, wait, for once.
Yeah.
Because you nearly always don't remember.
Yeah, I don't. You know, once I fix somebody, I'm done. I move on.
You file that on. You're done. That's your luck.
I'm like one of
those.
You've
had as much of me as you're going to get.
Yeah, I'm like the A team. I'll fix you. I'll fix your life, and then I'll move on, and I have to do it again next week.
Yeah,
so I don't remember.
Oh, I know.
This is from Tina. Now, I have a funny feeling that, like, Tina is not her real name, and I think she gave us a different nom de plume. Tina says, "Here's a follow up for you." You mm-hmm. gave me advice on how to deal with a person who had infiltrated our office friend group. Anyway, mm-hmm. we did the slow rejection and disbanded for lunches for a month or more.
Oh,
though
good
secretly,
job.
We started meeting outside the office. Of course they did. Of course they did. This is MI5 at its finest. It was the most fun we've had in ages. Now, the new girl, let's call her Liz because... I would suspect because that's her name.
Yeah, maybe.
has been
We're
causing...
feeling safe now.
The new girl, let's call her Liz, has been causing major hassle in the office and I don't think she will be around for long, which it's quite ominous sentence, I think. There.
I know, it's all go there.
So you're going to get fired or the group of girls are stepping it up.
I know.
I'm writing this after a night in my house with the girls. We're going to the canteen together tomorrow. I think we have shaken her off.
Well done.
So they've got rid, essentially. They've got rid.
I remember this.
Yeah,
I remember
this
really well.
Exciting.
Because we had a big conversation about this, actually.
I know, and it took us ages, I think, to come to...
what was the right way.
Yeah, what we should do. Because, I mean, the other side of it is we only have this group of girls...
Opinion
on this. Yeah. They, you know, maybe, so, you know, poor Liz.
Maybe they're like the mean girls.
Maybe they're the mean girls, yeah. But yeah. I don't think they are because did say, like, if I remember, she was a bit of a cow.
Yeah. a bit.
Thanks for the advice. We all shared the pod in the WhatsApp group and clicked play at the same time.
Oh my God.
A listening group.
Oh
I love
my God.
This.
Tina, we absolutely love that concept.
A listening group. It's exciting.
A listening
it's
group.
Like that thing you can do. Now, I don't know why you would, but. You know that thing you do on Netflix? Which
oh, the watch,
is,
the watch party.
Watch party.
Yeah, I've never done it. Have you done it?
I did it once. I watched a movie with one of my friends on Zoom.
Yeah,
it was during
lockdown. I've done it with my friend, right? But not through any official thing. So she's in her house, I'm in my house, and we're texting at the same time or whatever. So
yeah.
You're not quite on the same time?
Well, what it is it's streaming going, hey, do you remember when you used to do this on telly?
Yeah. Absolutely loving that concept. We're going to market that idea. If that's okay, we'll send you on a mug or something. And
we won't because we don't have mugs.
Well, we don't even know who she is, to be fair.
Niamh, we have a problem.
I didn't say it was an agony rant mug. It might be just, there's a load of people who have mugs outside. We just nick one and send it out.
Attention Agony Rants listeners, I am on tour at the moment. Thank you so much if you've come to see me because I swear to God, I have had a ball. The people in Drogheda and Letterkenny last week were just out of this world. So thank you so much. The tour continues and this month I will be in the Stand Comedy Club on the 18th of May. That is in Edinburgh. And then in Derry, I'm at the Playhouse on the 20th.
If you are in the Spirit Store in Dundalk, I will be back there on the 25th. I had a show there earlier on the tour and it was just one of my favourites so far, so I cannot wait for that. There's a couple of tickets left for that. Seas Church in Ballycotton is sold out on the 26th of May. And then in June, I'll be taking a break for a little while because I'm absolutely exhausted. So I will be... My last show will be in the Stand Comedy Club in Glasgow on the 8th of June. So if you're around, come and see me. The tour continues in September and I'll be in places like Carlow, Kilkenny, I'll be at Vicar Street on the 16th of September, Monaghan, back in Limerick for, I think it's my fourth show in Limerick, and they've all been so amazing. So that's on the 29th of September, and then Source Arts Centre in Thurles on the 7th of October. I'll be in Brighton at Comedia, and I'll be back in Cork on the 20th of October at the Everyman, which again, yeah, that was fab. But that was my first big show of the tour, so I'm dying to go back there. The tour is going to continue until the end of January, so there'll be more dates announced soon. And thank you so much to the people that are coming, because we are having a ball.
We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, and we would love you to subscribe. You can subscribe to become a member for as little as €5 a month. That's all it costs, €5 a month or more. And for amazing. That, you will get bonus content from us and from all of the shows in the Head Stuff Podcast Network. But it's not just about getting bonus content.
No, you can
it's about
ask
supporting us. And our cross promotion this week is for the podcast studios. That is where we record our podcast every week.
Yeah, it's like our little safe space, isn't it?
It is a little safe space. It's a studio complex in Dublin. There are three studios. They do videos.
Oh, everything.
They do audio recording. They do green screen stuff. We've never done a green screen. We should give that a whirl.
Oh my God. That, God knows what would end up happening there with the green screen. Well, does the green screen allow you to be different shape in your body? Like, is
that
thing?
I think that's the, drawback.
Okay,
now, green
then
screen,
I'm no longer interested.
You don't change, just your background.
Okay.
And also they've got great staff like Marissa.
Oh, we love Marissa.
Yeah, I mean, they have her for the moment, but yeah. Like...
I know.
She's been working with us, so like, get her while you can, because
yeah, I
imagine that won't last long.
No, she'll probably be off in a darkened room very soon. But... But, you know, you get great expertise here and it's such a great place to record. It is very, very supportive of the podcast situation.
And the support that you get from the podcast studios and from the Head Stuff Podcast Network is in-person support as opposed to a chatbot.
Yeah, without a doubt. So if you've got something you want to say to the world, this is the place to do it.
The podcast studios is the home of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. It's where lots of our shows are recorded and we work on editing, promotion, videos, live shows and lots more. As a podcast production company with three state-of-the-art studios for audio and video in Dublin City Centre, we can work with you to tell great stories in a professional and engaging way. From government organisations to charities, arts groups to international brands, entrepreneurs to hobbyists, we've worked with everybody and we can help you to get the word out. Whether you need studio time, you're hosting a live stream or webinar, or you need support with editing or marketing, we can tailor a package for you. For more info, head to thepodcaststudios.ie.
We have a problem, Grode.
We do indeed, Niamh.
Very, very exciting.
Will you do us the honours?
Hi, Niamh and Grode. I hope you are good. Niamh, I'm loving your song a day. Please do Euphoria. I can only really do that if I go on afterwards.
Oh, after 1993?
Yeah.
Which you're not going to do.
Probably not this year, because, well, it depends. If people lose the run of themselves and decide that they want to do it. But
I
no.
I can categorically say now.
Yeah.
She's had her fill. Plus, she has to sing one more Eurovision song. She's going to string herself up.
Plus, let's be honest, you know, we're getting into the difficult countries now. We're getting into the Ukraine and all that.
It does. Like, Loreen, it's a bit like, you know... You know, there's a lot of whacking your leg over your head.
I know it. Well, you never know.
Not after a month.
You never know.
But
you never know.
If you do it next year, Niamh, then you've got another, 30 or 20 odds
to go. There's 30, obviously, because it's 30 years since I won.
Gotcha.
You remember, Grode. Remember, that's a big year this year.
Yeah, you've never mentioned that, Niamh.
No, never, hardly. Yeah, I know, I can understand.
Hardly comes up.
Yeah. Cheeky. Anyway, so getting back to the lovely Aidan, I saw you sing that before and it was amazing. Also, we need you to release some songs. Grode saw you in Vicar Street and you were amazing. Never laughed so much in my life. It was like an abs workout.
Thanking you.
There you go.
Now, Niamh, he makes the point. Release more songs.
Okay. Well, now you've
seen the engagement, that's all I'm saying. Okay. Lots of people looking at your videos, and if they were buying that song and each of them giving you 99 cents, it's a chunk of change.
Lads, I'd be welcome able chunk of change. To buy me shopping for a month. Anyway, Niamh, this is my... Have you not seen how much things cost now?
I know, yeah.
Let's not go down the rabbit hole.
This is about your fans chomping at the bit to support you.
I feel we're not attending to Aidan here. Let's attend to Aidan and then we'll get back to that.
Now, this better be good, Aidan, because we're avoiding the conversation. So, like, no pressure, Aidan. This better be good.
Okay, anyway, this is my problem. I have worked in the same company for the last 16 years and have done very well. I recently took some time off, as I can do that with my company. I went on a sabbatical for 3 months and had a ball. When I came back, I got quite a shock. Oh my gosh. The company is changing and we have all been offered voluntary redundancy and I don't know what to do. We have 6 weeks to decide and I'm petrified of what the future may hold. Love to know what you think I should do. I broke up with my boyfriend last year, so I've already had a big adjustment. The thoughts of doing interviews, etc. Like, do I have to set up a LinkedIn account? Oh my gosh. Love to know your thoughts, Aidan.
Yeah. You accept voluntary redundancy.
Oh my God, take the money and run.
Exactly. Moving on. Back to your records.
No. Listen, Aidan, I completely understand it. You've had a big change last year.
Yeah.
But you are not afraid to take risks. You took 3 months off and you did some wild things. I said, take the redundancy and be creative and amazing. If you've worked 16 years there successfully.
That's a chunk of change.
And they'll give you 3 months off because you're that brilliant. Let me tell you. You can get a job anywhere you want.
Totally. Now, I know the idea. This kind of shocked me a little bit. The process of getting a job
it's
so different.
It is very
different. To the way it was.
When you just rock up with your CV in your hand.
Yeah. You know, there's like presentations and all of this sort of stuff. But one of the things, right, that they probably, and I think I'm almost certain that this is a legal requirement. If you've worked in a place over a certain... Anyway, I took voluntary redundancy from a place that I had worked in for a very long time.
Okay.
And one of the things that they did for us, I think this is... You have to do this.
Right.
Is there's a retraining budget.
So like a therapy?
No, it's sort of actually. Yeah. It's like a retraining thing. So you get a budget to retrain.
Take it.
To do courses.
Do
now,
stuff.
It's not... You can't add it on to your... To your redundancy payment. It has to, you have to do courses basically. And one of the courses that you do is a retraining course.
Into a new thing?
Yeah, it's how to.
Oh my God.
It's basically a day where you go in, and if this isn't part of your redundancy, it's well worth the whatever, it might be a grand or something to do this. But you basically go in 10 o'clock in the morning, and by the end of the day, you know exactly how to be in an interview, you know exactly how to. Do your CV and you come out of it. Part of the thing is that you come out of it with a banging CV.
Wow. Where is this? Because, you know, the last time I did a CV was to go to Tesco during COVID.
Niamh, I'm going to be honest with you, right? I'm going to say this.
27 years.
I don't think you have the practical experience as a Eurovision winner who has only worked in Tesco. I don't think you've got the practical experience that's required here.
Well, that's very unfair. I've run a very successful self-employed business for 27 years.
But you're a Eurovision goddess. It's not the same.
I'll be honest, I put MasterChef and everything on my CV. I think they only interviewed me.
I would imagine that your CV was the most passive-aggressive document that without has ever
a doubt,
been written.
Without a doubt, I was telling them how amazing I was on every line. You know, because you have to pull out the big guns when the last job you had before that was in the bank and, you know, in 1993. I know. But listen, Aidan, I'm just going to tell you, this is an amazing opportunity.
Exactly.
I mean, need to just change how you think about it.
Most people never get the opportunity
Take the money, whatever and the money is.
I know that there's a bit of a black box here because you've been through a bit of an adjustment. You broke up with your boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
And that is probably a bigger adjustment
than what's about to happen.
Than what's about to happen.
Yeah.
You know, if you have worked for 16 years in a place, whether, and I know that when you are in a place that long, you get very casual, you know everybody.
Yeah.
And you might think that your formal skills are
lacking,
and they're not there anymore because you're on a friendly basis with everybody.
Mm.
But the fact of the matter is, you know what it's like to have processes, to have timelines, to have all of that sort of stuff. And you have those skills. The problem is that you're so friendly and informal with people because you've worked there so long that you don't realize you know them. So what you need to do is maybe a little course like one of those interview courses or one of those CV courses will really, really help you just bring that out of yourself. Yeah.
Hold that bit. Yeah, I think people undersell themselves all the time because it's a very Irish thing, isn't it? It's a very Irish thing to say,
yeah,
ah, sure, I only did that. But actually, and they always think it's very American to go in and go, oh my God, it was amazing what I did. It was amazing. But actually, that's what you have to do when you go into interviews.
Yeah, and I
didn't
realize
that.
You have
to tell them you would be mad not to have me in here. You know, and that's when I do interviews just in general, that's how I try and make people
feel. She does, yeah. She does.
Even if I'm only talking about it. She can
sell herself.
I can.
She knows how to do it.
I know how to work the room.
I did an interview during COVID for a role as a programmer.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And they said, so tell me, out of 10, how good a programmer are you?
Okay, the answer to that is 11.
Well, I said 5.
What?
Well, firstly, because that's a stupid question, particularly a stupid question to ask a programmer.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, what's my parameters here? Like, is 10... If 10 is Bill Gates and 0 is somebody going into their first day on the job.
Yeah, okay.
Then I'd say I'm about 5.
Right. But 5 is not a good number.
Five.
You could say 8.
8.
8's a good number. It's, you know, it's...
I thought it was a stupid question.
Well, it is a stupid question. But honestly, Aidan, this sounds like it's going to be an amazing opportunity for you.
Definitely.
And actually, not unlike, I'm sorry you split up with your partner, but clearly a year later, you're getting on with things and doing things. If you're taking time off to go and be creative outside, you have that in you to do it. So I think take the money and run.
Absolutely.
Because that company is, I mean, even if you stay there, it's not going to be what it was before for you.
Also,
so already... Yeah. Already, you are leaving what you have. So take the money for what you've done.
The other side of that is a lot of those people that you work with are probably going to take voluntary redundancy because if it's offered, it's offered.
Oh, God.
And the other thing is you don't know that in 6 months' time...
That company won't be.
It could be. There could be statutory redundancy. Yeah. And usually in a situation where there's statutory redundancy...
A lot less money.
It's a lot less money than voluntary redundancy.
Yeah, no, you. This gives you control.
We're trying to push it over the edge because we realise, you know...
This is your decision.
It's, yeah, and also you've been through an emotional time and maybe the stability of a job is what you need, but you do need to think that maybe the stability that you feel you need, you might only need that for 6 months.
I'm going to be honest with you. He's already taken 3 months off from that job. He doesn't need that job.
Yeah.
I have full faith in you, Aidan. I think you're keen for it. You just want somebody to say it's okay. So
yes.
Here's your mammy telling you it's okay. Grode will tell you I'm very much in favour of people taking control of things and actually you taking voluntary redundancy. And if you change the narrative in your head that says, I'm in control of this. This is something I am choosing so I can move forward in a different way, create new roles for myself, do, you know, new skills, use the same skill set, maybe bring it into a new area. You bring that in into an interview situation, I promise you, you will get a job.
And the other thing as well, the worst case scenario here, right? Let's examine the worst case scenario.
Okay.
The worst thing that could happen to you, right, is you take this voluntary redundancy and you can't get a job that is at the same level as the job you've just left.
Yeah.
So the money means that you've got time
to
search and to find that job, or that you have to take a job slightly less than what you were. Maybe it's a step down. And if it is, you've got the skills. You've put the time in.
It wouldn't take any time.
You know, it won't take any time before you work back up to where you were. And also, maybe a little step back is exactly what you need.
How amazing would it be? Because if you've been taking time off, it means you've probably been looking for something else to be doing.
And if you are looking to work for your emotional stability,
you need to work on yourself.
You do need to look at that because that can change at the drop of a hat.
Oh my gosh, Grow, that's very
You're welcome, everybody. I'm like
so
Fraser.
So deep.
I'm like Fraser.
So deep. Yeah, well, he lived in a constant sense of panic, I don't think.
Well, exactly.
He's not a good person.
I can help other people.
We are so excited for you. I think you'll be fantastic. I want the follow-up. Do you want the follow-up?
I do want to follow up.
We definitely
this
want the
is a shock, but this is also, no matter...
It can be positive.
It's very positive. And it's an opportunity that's dropped in your lap. Now, you mightn't see it as that for the moment, but trust me. And speaking as somebody that has been on the other end of that, best thing I ever did.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And even I really wanted it at the time, and I really wanted it, and it was scary. And on my last day in there, I was there till like 6 o'clock, copying files. And
look at you.
But I was very...
So you could blackmail them with them after? Is that
what No, like I was... Like
were you stealing files?
No, I wasn't. I was moving to, like, you know, making sure everyone had access to the stuff that I was working on.
And it was
on.
Quite
I
an admission to make on a podcast, you know, on that can be found.
Yeah. But it's very... Even though I wanted it and I couldn't wait to get out of there, I found it... I did find it hard. And it took a couple of months
to adjust.
No, it is.
It's a very big step. And... Please don't think we're not recognising that age.
I think we've given him fabulous advice.
Yeah. We just think you're amazing. Go for it.
Yeah.
Take the money.
Take the money.
Take the money and run.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm so excited for him. Yeah. I really want to know.
You're probably going to get a year's salary at least.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Listen, lads. On you go.
Lads, take it.
Niamh, we have another problem.
Oh, excellent.
Dear Agony Rants, I'm a massive fan. I discovered you a couple of weeks ago and boy, am I binging. I love it. I've been living with my husband for the past 7 years and we are happy.
Do you know, whenever somebody says that, what do I say to you? This is going to be...
Yeah, it's like...
This is going to be pear-shaped.
Okay.
I think we're about to prove something that is not true. We are happy and now I'm going to tell you all the reasons I'm not happy.
That's exactly what's going to happen. We have always been very different people, and there are times when I think I am wasting my life staying with him. That
straight
is
in
one
there.
Sentence away from saying we
I'm
are
away.
Happy.
Yeah, okay.
He is under a lot of pressure at work, so he's a lot on his shoulders. I know that, but I am sick of his grumpy attitude at home, and I am also sick to death of his moods.
Oh.
Well, you're entitled to be.
Without a doubt.
He has a lot on. His father died suddenly 2 years ago and his mother is sick. I understand that, but there is a part of me that feels if it wasn't this, it would be something else. We are young, both 35, and we want to start a family, and I feel more and more that I have my eye on the door. What do you think I should do? And that's from T.
Now, there you go. And if you've listened to nearly 80 programs of Agony Rants, you'll know where we're going to go with this, right?
Exactly.
The first thing you have to do, the thing that strikes me about this is you say we're very happy, but clearly you're not.
No.
Clearly you're not happy. It doesn't mean that you don't love them. It's okay to say I'm not happy. It does not mean that you don't love the person.
Yeah. Stop and saying you're happy because that's your barrier.
You know, if you were happy, you'd be writing in to tell us about the lovely stories. This is not a lovely story.
No.
So.
And we're always happy to hear lovely stories.
Oh, no, yeah. But they're not as much fun.
But they're not as much fun.
No, this is not meant to be fun. Because actually, this is quite serious, right?
It is, yeah.
It's very serious. And from everything you say, if what you're saying is direct and true and proper, I think your partner probably needs to talk to someone. Or there needs to be honesty between you and him about how you feel. Because if you're saying you're happy to us, maybe you're telling him you're happy and you're just getting on with that and you're not being clear about the fact that it's too hard to actually deal with the level. And he might be relieved from that conversation. Honestly, I'm going to tell you, it's so important. If you're not talking to this person and saying, I'm not happy, not because these terrible things are happening, I'm not understanding that, but if I'm not telling you that I'm unhappy because the way you're treating me, I don't have to accept that. And actually, you won't be happy if you continue to treat me like that. Well, and actually, chances are that's probably part of the problem. He probably feels really guilty about that and is probably more aware. Or if he's not aware, which is quite often the case with people, if he's not aware, then he needs to be made aware of how unhappy it is and how difficult it is to live with it.
And saying we are happy, that's not what you're saying there.
No.
That is, I've been living with my husband for the past 7 years and we are not communicating. That's what you're saying there.
Wow.
It is, because as soon as you go, oh no, we're happy, that means we're not discussing anything.
Yeah, let's just pretend we're happy because we're 7 years together, we should be happy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if the 7 years is...
And I'm going to say, 7 years is not a long time.
No, I'm 24 years with my husband and I'm not going to joke. We have times where we have to have the conversation and the, you know, it comes up over time and we get on very well, but there are times where the communication's not great.
Absolutely.
And we are nearly... And you know, and you're sitting there going, I'm raging about that, but I don't do anything about it. And whose fault is that then? It's my fault for not saying. And then when you do have the conversation, as hard as that conversation is, the thing is the other person then understands it comes from a place of love. You have to be very definite. You have to be saying, I'm not happy with this behavior, because I'm not saying I don't understand what's happening, because there is a huge amount going on in your husband's life. And actually, to be fair, you know, he may benefit from speaking to someone else separately, but you and him have to have the conversation first. That is the most important thing, because you are clearly not happy.
Yeah.
You're clearly not happy.
Clearly.
You can say we are happy. What you're trying to say when we are happy is you love him, but you don't know what to do with how you're feeling.
Yeah. And also saying you're not happy and acknowledging you're not happy, that's not saying, oh, it's all going to end.
Yeah.
Or you're looking for a way. That's saying,
no.
You're saying that where we are, this is not happy and we both need to work to improve it. And when I say work,
every relationship needs it.
Yeah, it's, you
there's,
know...
There's not a relationship, even you and I were on talking about this recently, you know.
We were.
Yeah, you know. Grode and I work in our relationship constantly.
Listen.
By WhatsApp. No. But
I've never had so many brownies in my life.
No, but conversation is the key. You start with the conversation of, are you happy? That's a good question. Are you happy? You know, I know these things are happening in your life, you know, but this is really difficult because I'm dealing with you at this point, at this level, and it's very difficult for me to know how to help you.
The reason that you are not happy, that's not necessarily because of him and his moods.
No.
At all. I mean, the reason, like if you were happy in your relationship, you would be able to separate yourself and go, he's a lot of pressure. His, you know, he's lost his father, his mother's ill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a lot on his shoulders at work. If you were happy, you would understand that.
And you
would see that and you'd both be able to talk about it. But the fact is that you're not happy. And it's not only about him.
Yeah. And the other thing is she talks about it as if his parents weren't anything to do with her. If she's been with him for 7 years and his father died, you know, 5 years or 2 years ago, you had that loss too. I mean, I know it's not the same loss, but it's a similar loss.
But it's a loss, yeah.
And then the sickness of his mother, even regardless of your relationship.
Sometimes with in-laws, it's not a loss.
No.
Sometimes it's just, thanks be to Christ.
I was just thinking there hasn't been a wheelie bin for a while now and here it comes. Here it comes.
I'm just saying, not everybody has to like everybody, Niamh.
No, I get that. But I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't affect you if somebody dies.
Of course.
If you're married to this person, you're intrinsically part of their family, whether you like it or not, even if they're hateful. You know, the thing is, this has an effect on you also. So this, you talk about these things as if they're only happening to him, but they're actually happening to you too.
Some people, I think this is an Irish thing as well.
Oh, go on.
Sometimes I think people in relationships, and marriages, I think, can go, oh, well, we're in it for the long haul now, so they'll just have to put up with it.
Yeah.
And you just say that about each other.
Yeah.
And that's a recipe.
It's very counterproductive.
It's very counterproductive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that, like...
I mean, we're not sitting here saying, because you say you've got your eye on the door, right? If you're already leaving in your head, there's nothing that we're going to say is going to change that. If you're looking for permission here, there's nobody going to give you permission. The only person who can give you permission is you, right? If you're the right thing. And it's not always the right thing to do to leave. You think it is, because it's a simple way to say, as difficult as it is, well, in a weird way, it's just like, oh, well, I'm done with that.
But actually, I
disagree. I think sometimes you can gain more from having that conversation. And you may still leave after that. But at least then it's done in a way that both of you are well informed and it doesn't, blindside the other person, regardless of their conversation.
Well, when you're in it, I think leaving can feel like a conversation about this and working on this could take a year. Whereas if I leave, it's sorted out in a day.
Yeah, but it's
and
not.
That's just not the way it is.
It's not, because you'll still have to cope with
that. Yeah, you've got to grieve and you've got to, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
And even if you hate somebody,
leaving,
you've lived with them for 7 years.
Yeah, leaving
or more,
is never just, I'm leaving, everything's fabulous.
It's not,
there is a process.
And anyone that's ever left Oh. We'll tell you that.
Oh.
And I'll give you some numbers.
Yeah.
I'll give you some numbers and you can see how it worked out for them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Listen, relationships take work. Good, bad, or indifferent. Even if you're the most compatible people on the planet, you get browned off with people. But at the root of it all is you saying, we're happy. And if you're saying, we're happy to him in the things that you're doing, if you're not saying, I'm unhappy because you're not treating me nicely here, you know, because even with all these things going on in people's lives, that doesn't give them permission to not treat you in a good way.
Exactly. And the thing that you've written here, he's under a lot of pressure at work and he has a lot on his shoulders. And I know that, but I am sick of his grumpy attitude at home and I'm also sick to death of his moods. That's, you've written down what you need to say.
You already know what you need to say, yeah.
Which is, I know you're under a lot of pressure at work. I know you have a lot on your shoulders, but I'm sick to death of your grumpy attitude at home and I'm sick to death of your moods.
Listen, he's lost his father, his mum is sick and he's under pressure at work. It is possible depression or some form of depression or, you know, grief. Grief.
Yeah.
Grief is a terrible thing.
It is a terrible thing.
And the worst thing is sometimes you're inside of it and recognise that this habit has come up because you're grieving or that you, and you can see all the things and you hate that it's happening, but you don't know how to stop it.
And the thing about grief is as well, grief, you have to get over grief before it comes again. Because that's the way grief works. Like, you're not just going to hit grief once in your life.
Oh, no.
You know, like...
It's
like
a coping mechanism, yeah.
Yeah, and like he's well aware of this because he's lost his father and his mother's sick. So he is...
He's probably anticipating
the next grief. Mm-hmm. You know, and the position he's in is very hard. And if he is a typical Irish man...
He'll not be voicing
it. He does not want to talk about his feelings. He doesn't want to talk about...
So he's probably taking on too much in work in order to divert attention. You have to get the elephant in the room. You have to start it. If you're going to give any gift to your husband and yourself, you have to start that conversation of saying, I'm not happy because we are not communicating rightly. And, you know, and it may not resolve itself the way you want it to. Maybe you've already made up your mind. There's not a lot to be said about that then. But, you know, the point is, these are important conversations to have.
So whether you're going to stay or whether you're going to go, you have to have this conversation anyway. And also, if you're the person in the relationship that always starts the state of the union and it bothers you,
well then,
suck it up. Yeah, that's your job.
Exactly right.
If the other person is not doing it, you need to do it.
Yeah, and you know, it's okay to do that. And I actually quite like that I'm the person who does that.
Yeah.
I do. The difficulty comes if you're the person who's the hot mess.
I know, yeah.
And you're the State of the Union person.
I tend to go back and forth.
Do you?
Yeah, some days I'm the hot mess, some days I'm the, you know.
Yeah, I sometimes see that.
Terry, dude.
I know. I'm sorry. I might not let you agree with that.
I think we've helped.
Jeez, I think we're nearly ready for the course.
Listen, I think we are.
We're on fire these days.
Absolutely on fire. agonyrants@gmail.com. We would love to have your problems.
Yes, we really, really would.
We have a few more left, but we could do with some more.
Yeah.
Also, we would like your follow-ups. We'd like to know, you know,
how are you getting on with our advice?
Did our advice work? Did we absolutely ruin your life?
Also, I love random stories.
I do love random stories. Yeah, we haven't done a shout-out for something in a while.
We may be doing an out shout-out. I think it'd be nice.
And we would love you to subscribe to Headstuff Plus because that's what keeps us on the network.
Yeah. Otherwise,
that's how we're not dropped.
Yeah. Any day now, they're going to be asking for rent.
And we will chat to you next week.
All right.
Chat to you soon. Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.